Great, so I guess we'll get started. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Sinapa.
Here.
Commissioner Geary.
Absent. Excused.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
And Supervisor Press.
Not here.
Okay.
Next, okay, the approval of summary proceedings for December 12th of 2018.
Liz gave me some corrections via email, so I've already made those corrections.
Okay, perfect. So do we need to, anybody else have any changes or corrections?
I saw no errors on it, I saw.
Okay. All right, so then I just need a motion.
Make a motion that we approve.
Approve as amended? Okay.
Yeah, as amended.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Next, we have our consent agenda. These agenda items before the Animal Services Commission may be acted upon with one motion if no member of the commission or the audience wishes to comment or ask questions. And we have, it looks like, four pieces of correspondence. Do we have anything that needs to be pulled off, or do we need a motion?
Is it only one? This is your moment.
I have four on mine.
Are you sure you're looking at the summary?
Yeah, are you looking at the summary or the agenda?
I'm looking at the summary.
Was that for last month? Maybe.
Never mind.
Look at me, all right.
If she says anything.
All right. So,
if we
don't
want
to be employed, can I get a motion? To receive and file?
I make a motion that we receive and file.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next, we are on to public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. If we can have you come to the podium, and if I can remind everybody to please turn their phones down or off. So we will start at table one. Liz, you got anything?
No, thanks. But you can ignore me.
That's the rule.
Liz Keough, K-E-O-G-H, proud resident of the 5th District, currently the previous Mr. Sinapa. I don't know those of you who don't get the newspaper. I'm one of the old fogies that still does. Very nice articles in the paper about the CAT program and what's going on. So if you don't get the paper, I'm sure if you search for TNR, KCAS, whatever, you can see it. And I just wanted to say that we're getting some good publicity, finally. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe? You have anything, Joe?
Mike?
Next table?
Oh. Put it back to two.
Huh? I want my full 2 minutes. Susan Richardson, 92306.
Just go ahead. You get Liz's remaining minute.
I won't be that long anyhow. Anyhow, I just had actually more like a couple questions. Everybody knows, you know, you when you can put your name down as a last resort. And I actually talked to Nick about this before, but what I wanted to find out about is, who makes the decision as far as what they charge for someone who puts their name down as a last resort? And if you do or whoever is it possible that they will start charging less for last resorts? I mean, I just feel like if someone's willing to take on a dog as a last resort or animal or whatever, that it should be cheaper than $50.
Yeah.
Especially when you hold other types of adoptions all the time. So.
To answer your question, we will typically charge whatever our adoption rate is at the time. Kind of like somebody else just said, $50 is fairly cheap for what it costs us to care for these animals and fix them. But It's ultimately up to me. If the staff were to ask me, can we reduce or waive adoption fees, I can, and I do pretty frequently. But we've had a lot of discussions here recently about having a tiered adoption scale where the animals that are here longer, the animals that are at risk, are have a lower adoption fee. So we're talking about it, yeah.
Well, good. My other question is there's been a lot of controversy in going back and forth in the animal community about the hold, when like a Good Samaritan finds an animal and they decide to hold it. And the state regs, I guess apparently your law says 30 days, it's supposed to be 30 days. But the county, if I have hold the dog and I take it in 15 days after, you charge me an owner surrender fee. So I guess my question is, how can you charge me an owner surrender fee, which is in, because it's in direct conflict with what the state law says, I'm supposed to hold it for 30 days.
Yeah, so when we tell you if it's over 14 days or if you have the animal for 15 days, that's when the animal becomes your property in order to surrender it to us. Whether or not a rightful owner has an obligation or a right to redeem that animal from you after that 15 days is a whole different
set of... No, I'm saying if the California law tells me I have to hold this tray for 30 days, but then all of a sudden, 15th day, I don't know, maybe I got to go in the hospital or something, and I can no longer hold it, so I need to bring it to shelter. Although the animal's not mine, but your ordinance says it's mine, but California state law says it's not. So how can you charge me an owner surrender fee if technically, really, the owner, the animal's not mine?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any state law that says the animal is not yours until 30 days.
I'm going to find it again.
You can. Please feel free to.
Yeah, because it's 14 days. If an animal's in your possession for 14 days, you become owner.
Right, and as is often the case, there's probably multiple codes or laws that will address property and who has a right to the property, so this may be one of those cases.
Thank you.
I don't think so. Found property is 3 months. So I'm not sure where that 30 days comes from.
Yeah, our understanding was on after 15 days of care and custody,
right,
an animal is...
Right, because there's a specific statute upon
yes.
animals for just regular found. Like, I find somebody's wallet on the sidewalk, mm-hmm. take it to the police station, they hold it for 3 months.
Right.
I find it once, it's just so busy with doggies, I can't have a chance to look for it into the regulation again. But I'll find it.
Sure, shoot me an email.
Okay. All right, next. Is that mic on? Yes, okay.
Testing. Stacy Jesse. I just had a couple of questions for the commissioners. I'm not sure if you can answer them or if not here. Just one question was, how often do you guys meet with your respective board of supervisor that you represent? My other question is, what are your plans for 2019 within the community with your role here? Do you guys have any plans for education or any kind of new programs to enact that would, take us into 2019? Those are my questions.
Madam Chairman, if I can make a comment before you answer
please
that.
Please do.
The role of the board is to sort of make themselves available as a conduit to the Board of Supervisors. Their job is to oversee animal services. Their job is to suggest new programs to the Board of Supervisors. They don't really plan activities or set up programs. That's all done by animal control.
We don't have a budget.
No, I just thought maybe you guys had an educational thing you like to enact. I mean, something that doesn't necessarily require a budget or any ideas that you have for the new year.
Yeah, typically something like that. We have entities and organizations here that participate within the community, and so typically a lot of that will be handled through those various organizations, and we have the good fortune that we can utilize this room, this venue, the supervisor's chambers, things like that, depending upon size and merit.
And you guys aren't able to answer how often you talk with your board of supervisors?
As often as it's needed.
Is Can you give like an idea, like once a year?
I meet every 60 days.
Okay, thank you.
That's the way I do it.
Right.
Everybody's different, but that's the way
I do it. I'm just wondering what your guys' individual style is, hoping you could just answer it. That was a pretty simple question.
And if we don't meet, we talk. There's communication that goes on. Mm-hmm.
So everybody, it's safe to say that everybody at least every 60 days is in contact.
That's what I do.
Yeah, we do emails and stuff. We don't necessarily go to their office. It's hard to capture them a lot of times, quite frankly. So sometimes it's a phone call, sometimes it's an email.
Yeah, I'm in some form of communication with Supervisor Perez on, like, every 30 days or so.
Good question, though.
Okay, anybody on that second table? Okay, third table.
Sandy Martino, 93312. So I just thought it would kind of be a nice thing to kind of give a rescue report at these meetings, too. It's kind of like what we're doing out there in the community, that kind of stuff. My rescue, Bakersfield Boxers and Bullies Rescue, has been joining up with Safer Place Animal Rescue, and we've been doing vaccination clinics. So we started out at Heritage Park, and we did three events. We try to do it on a schedule, so every 3 weeks, so we can kind of keep in, on a schedule for the people. And we have a lot of returning, that came back, and also others that were bringing litters of puppies. So it was kind of a nice sample to see what was going on in the community. We took information from each person, and it was their name, their address, their phone numbers, all the information that I could think of to write down for their dogs. Just real quick, we had, quite a few that came through. So I have all of these general receipt books because I didn't know how else to, record everything cheaper. And so we have a lot of the information on here. And then we would kind of store the, like their vaccination record and that kind of stuff on there for them. One of the things that was a big eye-opener was how many dogs still need to be fixed in that area. So I have, not only on these four that are almost all filled up, but also on these pages as well, people with their phone numbers and how many dogs that they need to have fixed. So I kind of wanted to get in touch with you anyways on our next location, which will be inherited at North Beardsley Park in Oilville, thinking maybe we could do some vouchers out there. But over three events, we did 595 vaccinations.
Can I ask a question, Sandy?
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys, I just had a question. I'm usually answering the questions. I'm asking a question. Do you find, how many clinics have you guys done so far?
Three.
And do you find that, do you guys engage in a conversation about spay and neuter? Are most people receptive and want to get it done?
So that's what I have. I do have a lot of that. Now, there are some that come through that are like, nope, I want to breed my dog. And I try to get, people from, different organizations. We also have Josh Proctor. He's done a lot of fantastic work for the city shelter, and he comes to those events also. So just at this last one there was a man who came through, and he had this giant Rottweiler, and he was like, oh, no, I'm going to breed my dog. And it was kind of nice because we were able to kind of pair him up to Josh, and by the end of the conversation, I think Josh kind of at least gave him some food for thought, as far as, like, why we don't want to do that, that kind of deal. So we definitely are trying to get our, a little bit deeper into the community and, finding ways to really get in there. So I do have a lot of it here. I think that the next one will be really big. This was 595. I think we're going to do at least that, probably in one or two events at the North Bridgeford Park. So I was hoping that maybe county could come out with the vouchers for the free spay neuter for the pit bulls. At least have somebody there to kind of, do that, knowing, and working so much, we kind of have to hold their hands a little bit. So I was going to try to get volunteers to kind of take a list of people that we have signed up and actually try to follow them through to make sure they get their dogs fixed as well. But I just thought that'd be kind of a good thing to report what's going on.
I actually wrote down as you were saying that, ask Sunday to keep me informed on clinics, promote county programs.
Oh, I'm going to try to do that afterwards.
What's the date on the next one?
Oh, January 27th. So we have it between 12 and 2, but a lot of times it stretches out to more than that. But we're going to just try to have that for 12 to 2. And we've been doing mostly online, but it just spreads like wildfire in the community. Over there at the Heritage Park, anyways, there were a lot of people. We had a lot of Spanish speakers, and that kind of stuff. But there were a lot of puppies that came through. Like litters of puppies that people were bringing up in wagons.
Oh, is that 27th? Is that Saturday or Sunday?
It's a Sunday.
Sunday, okay.
So we try to do them every 3 weeks on Sundays.
Sunday, can you spell your last name for me?
Martineau.
Thank you.
Terry, have a question?
I just wanted to ask, they push the spay neuter, which is wonderful, but do they also push licensing, which is a county requirement?
No, we're there for vaccinations, but we do try to educate as much as possible on the spay and neuter. The licensing is, something that when they do go in, they've got those options. It clears out litters, and that kind of stuff. And if they do ask about the licensing, which we have had people come up and ask if we're doing the licensing, then, of course, we direct them to the shelters, whichever one they live in, city or county.
Okay. Because that could also sway people to spay neuter.
Do you charge at these clinics, or are they free?
They're free.
They're free with vaccinations.
Yeah.
Do you at least give them the information that under state law, the dog, if over 4 months, needs to have a license after getting a rabies shot?
I think they're only administering DHPP.
Yeah, we're only administering the DHPP. I should clarify that, too.
Okay.
Because the rabies is a veterinary-administered vaccination.
Well, I actually brought a veterinarian out.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just...
Yeah, we haven't signed a waiver, so they understand that we're not veterinarians, and that, there could be side effects. I give them information on distemper and parvo, the signs of it, that kind of stuff. So we do the best we can to cover the bases, but...
The other thing with the rabies is the state changed it. It's actually 12 weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 months, yes. Yeah. Some vets definitely don't like that.
No.
Yeah, the vaccinations, we had a lot, with the issue with the county. We kind of had a little bit of like, oh my gosh, when do we, do we do it 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Or oh my god, do we start them over? So there's a lot of things that we're still working through on that as well to kind of make sure we're doing it the right way.
Okay. Any last table there? Anybody else? We had a couple of latecomers. You got anything, Jerry? You got anything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay, so that concludes public presentations. And then if we can take a second, which mic is having issues?
Well, mine isn't working. I don't think that one's working.
Yes.
I don't think this one's working.
Talk
loud,
Mr. Blackburn.
Yeah. Probably just need to turn it on.
I was going to say, is it plugged in? Is it turned on?
Well, they're all plugged in. But the only one, I put them up there, but the only one I actually turned on is there.
It's a small group.
The
White House
building
not working.
Oh,
it's on.
I
just
got
right here.
I think it's fine. I think the one next to that. No. It may seem me, but it's my one where I want somebody to.
Maybe next time,
drink
it.
Please continue.
Are we good? Okay. All right. Next, on to staff announcements.
Uh-oh.
The director's monthly report.
Give it to me.
Battery dead?
I do. Good evening. Just wanted to go over a few things. Liz had touched on the efforts at Hart Park with the feral and free-roaming cats up there. I just wanted to go over a few things. We had some questions from some members of the media that were unclear what we were doing out there. So it's one of those things where the county is undertaking some changes, some upgrades at Hart Park. There's grant funding that's involved. There's permitting and approvals from the Parks Commission that's involved. So, and it bleeds over from Animal Services into Parks, into the CAO's office. So it's this weird thing where I, as the Director of Animal Services, I'm not fully informed on what the Parks Department is doing and their timeline. So, the media will ask me questions, and I can't answer everything. So then it sounds like I'm hiding something when I'm really not. So if you see negative media coming out, it's just because I don't have all the answers. And I know that there was stuff that we couldn't talk about because it hasn't gone to like Parks Commission and all that stuff. So, but what I can tell you is that you know, it was a conversation that happened between the cat people and animal services to begin with, and then it kind of evolved into a conversation that also involved county administrative office and parks department. And it was just a sort of thing where we knew that they were doing some renovations to the park, and we knew that some of those renovations were going to be affecting some of the structures at Hart Park, where cats sometimes frequent. So we all thought it would be better to remove the cats before they start renovating, because it could have the potential to demolish some of those houses or those structures out there. So we want to get them out before that starts happening. And then alternatively, our slow season is now. So come April, we're going to be inundated with cats. So if we're going to help find placement for cats from Hart Park, now is the time to do it. So it's like we were having questions. Oh, the county only gave the cat people 6 months to get. There's a, what are you going to do with the cats after that? Nothing. They're still going to be there. We're just trying to make an effort to get them removed before they start construction out there. So, but I know that when I pulled some statistics about a week and a half ago, the cat people had brought us 38 cats total in like a 3-week time span, and every one of those cats found a home. So it was either through adoption or through rescue or in a temporary foster home. So they're all live outcomes. They're all friendly cats that are being brought to us, which is awesome, but it's also tragic because that means that friendly cats are being brought out to our park. Sally was even telling me that we had a cat that came in with a microchip, and we scanned it and found a chip and contacted the owner, and she said, yeah, I've been missing my cat for months now.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, part of what we're trying to do, I was on the news yesterday morning talking about the need to be aware of the state of animal welfare and that you don't need to take a cat out to Hart Park and dump it there. It'll be perfectly well taken care of at the county shelter. So it's an undertaking, and it's something that it's a long overdue, you know, and it's by no means has it ever been the cat people's responsibility or obligation to do it, and they've been doing it for quite some time. I'm very appreciative of them. Did want to say thank you to Sundi and her team for taking it on, take it yourself to put together those clinics and get dogs vaccinated in the community. When we were seeing distemper, this is what I was asking for, you know, some support, some help in the community to get animals vaccinated to prevent these things from happening at our shelter and every other shelter in this county. So I appreciate the effort for you guys to get out there and have those conversations with the public. Wanted to also, this is more for the commissioners than anything, and maybe Jerry. Our department, I've talked about this before, we're taking on institution of administrative citations from the department. And for those of you who don't know, if you get a ticket, you can get a criminal citation or you can get an administrative citation. Criminal citation, you have to go to the court system to deal with. And typically the court system keeps all of your fines and everything. The administrative citation is a citation that comes from the department, and your fine comes back to the department. So it's something that we've been talking about for years. The reason why I needed to talk to the commissioners about it, bring it up, is because if and when we get that instituted, hopefully within the next 12 months, we will have to have probably considerably more administrative hearings, because more than likely folks are going to contest their license and vaccination citations. So we're still trying to work our way through the requirements and what the fines are going to be and things like that, but I just wanted to throw that out there. And we're looking at alternatives, too, for administrative hearing officials, but from what I understand, this panel is the only people that can sit in an administrative review panel. So, okay, moving on to the director's report. Our rescue partners in December placed 176 animals with rescue, 2,408 total animals in 2018, calendar year 2018. It never fluctuates too far from that number there, usually a couple hundred less, a couple hundred more. Our foster program ended up at the end of the year placing 1,303 animals in foster care. December alone saw 52 animals enter the foster care program. I think that includes the cat, the kittens that were entered through the foster, the kitten nursery the last few months of the year. Our TNR program is still continuing, 8,202 total cats, 8,202 cats altered through the TNR program since 2013. We had no off-site vaccination clinics in December. However, we did hold three Wednesday evening clinics, successful as usual. We're still administering free parvo distemper vaccines at the county clinics, too. So if for any reason we have people, and I don't know why, if we run out or something like that, they can at least are still giving out free vaccines at the county clinics as well. Adoptions the month of December, so we're 465 animals placed through adoptions. Year to date, in 2018, 5,691 animals found placement through adoption. I'm not sure, but I have to believe that's probably a record. 5,691 animals found adoption.
And these are adoptions locally into local homes?
I don't know if they're local, but they're private party adoptions. So not not a rescue, or it could be a rescue that's adopting an animal, but more often than not, it's a private party adoption. That's not including the 2,400 animals sent to rescue, probably 1,500 animals sent through TNR, probably another 600, 700, 800 that were returned back to their owner. I think I just covered all of the live outcomes.
Do you have any ideas on, excuse me, Madam Chair, I know I'm interrupting, the number of private parties that adopt multiple animals at the same time?
I don't.
Do you have any sense, 10%, 5%?
If I were to give you a sense, it is not 5 or 10, it's probably even less than that, maybe 1 or 2%. Mm-hmm. People that adopt multiple animals at once?
Yeah, like two dogs, two cats.
Not very many, very small, I mean, probably minuscule. Although there was a story in the news that I did an interview about for a lady. She was an elderly lady. She adopted a puppy. I think it was a 6-month-old dog, but I consider it a puppy. Anyway, when she adopted it, she saw that the dog's mother was in the shelter, and she adopted the dog, and she went home, and she started thinking about it. She felt really bad, so she came back and adopted the mom. Good story. But I don't know that those statistics off the top of my head. And in December, we continued our Holiday Hounds foster program. Again, that's sort of a weekend foster program. Again, we just stamped it with a name, but we're going to continue doing that throughout the year and probably find some cute, ridiculous name for it every couple of months. But it's just a way for us to get large breed dogs out of the shelter temporarily, get them some marketing and some publicity in the community. Field services, as is often the case with this relatively slow month in December. Just over 1,000 calls for service in December.
And the Northeast won again.
Yeah. They had the early champion. And overall, 2018, they completely obliterated the competition. 4,061 total calls for service. And I will reiterate, it is a densely populated area, the Northeast Bakersfield. So it's not necessarily at all to do with responsible pet ownership. There's also a lot of people that live in that area. Other than that, I did want to just point out some things in the statistics. I had talked about this, I think, briefly last month, but total euthanasia for 2018 was down by just about 1,500 animals over the year before, which is pretty significant. We're also seeing a pretty significant, I mean, there was the first few years, especially when we moved to Mount Vernon, where we were unsure whether or not it was anecdotal or not, but we've seen a pretty significant decrease, overall decrease in the amount of animals coming into the shelter, to the tune of about 2,000 to 2,100 animals over the course of 3 or 4 years. So it's incremental and it's slow, but we're seeing tapering off of animals coming into the shelter. What that is attributable to is anybody's opinion. But it's a good thing that the shelter itself is taking in less.
Spay neuter is one of the elements.
It's definitely one.
And every study done says when you implement an aggressive spay neuter policy, you don't get overnight results.
That concludes my director's report.
Thank you.
I'm happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner?
Oh, one other thing. I'm so sorry. The subcommittee. Our subcommittee met today, this afternoon, from 3 till about 4:45-ish. To be honest with you, we got a lot more accomplished last year. I was going to say, but that's actually true. We've got more. I feel like we got more accomplished last month. Today was mostly a lot of discussion about just what exists, what doesn't exist yet. I said at the end of the meeting, and I still think that it was still productive, although nothing was accomplished on paper. We ended the meeting on 2 agreements. That's a good thing. But overall, we're headed in a good direction. And that concludes
the report.
Okay,
start.
I had a couple of things. A number of notable things I came to my attention was the fact that, and you were right about the adoptions. I don't think we've had this many adoptions in a year ever since I've been keeping track of it. 5,700 animals adopted in 1 year. That's amazing. So that's credit to you and your marketing and being innovative and finding ways, different ways to do it. So congratulations to you on that. Also the fostering. You know, the fostering program has only been around, what 2 years?
I mean, we've had a fostering program in some way, shape, or form for 8 years, probably 10 years. It's just been a renewed focus and dedication since maybe 2014, 2015, something like that.
But you have 1,300 animals that enter foster care, which is really phenomenal.
And about probably 96% of those make it out into the adopted ones or rescue ones.
And I hear that about 93% of them stay with the people that do the fostering.
I don't know if that's accurate. It wouldn't surprise me if it did.
Probably pretty close. I didn't see any numbers here as far as volunteers.
I don't have volunteer statistics right now. Mr. George just came back from some time off.
Okay.
He's recovering and getting back up to speed.
Good.
But he'll be... I don't have a time frame when he'll return to these meetings. I don't want to get too in detail, but he's, like I said, he's getting up to speed. He's instituting a lot of changes to the volunteer program. Specifically, it's a new software program that manages the volunteers. It's a little complicated to figure out, so... but as soon as I can get him up to speed, we'll start producing some statistics so you guys can keep track.
Also, another bit, which you alluded to earlier, the amount of intakes has reduced to the tune of 1,764 fewer animals this year versus last year, which you know, takes the pressure off the department and the volunteers to find ways to place them. So TNR, yeah, that's that is probably one of the biggest components, but... So anyway, that's an excellent thing. That's a great way to have when you have 147 fewer animals per month less coming in. It takes the pressure off. As far as the outcomes go, the euthanasia, yeah, we're down 1,533 animals compared to all of last year. So that's a tremendous drop. 47% fewer cats and 18% fewer dogs. And the bottom line is last year our save rate was 68%. This is the way I do it, 68% save. This year, well, when I say last year, I'm talking about 2017. 2017, we saved 68% of the animals. This year, we went up to 75%. So that's 7 percentage points. So we're 3 years into a 5-year program. So if we do 7% this year, this current year, we'll be at 82. And 7 or 8% the following year, which is year 5, we'll be at 90%. So we're right on track as far as getting the no-kill, which is the main reason I'm here. So it may seem like we're not accomplishing a lot. Maybe we are. I mean, this is dramatic, what's going on. This is dramatic, and I give you a lot of kudos, and you and your team for doing it. So that concludes my comments. There was someone in the audience.
I don't really have any questions. I just want to thank you again for being on the subcommittee and everybody here that's on that subcommittee for taking the time to do all that, especially I know you have a pretty busy workload at the shelter, so taking that time and preparing everything and doing all that, it's much appreciated. And then, you know, as far as these statistics go, I kind of feel it is, you know, as you say, it's all, you know, whoever's opinion. I think it's a combination of that aggressive spay and neuter campaign as well as folks out in the rescue community doing all that work out in the streets. Making sure that, you know, more animals are getting into foster care, going, you know, outside of Kern County or wherever. But I think, you know, everybody in the room has a piece in that, and just grateful for everybody that's here.
By the way, something interesting, you know, throughout my tenure in animal control, animal services, you always come on milestones. You know, a big milestone for us at the shelter, at least, was when we started, it sounds horrible, but when we started saving more animals than we put down. Like, that was a milestone.
Yeah.
And there's milestones like that periodically. Sometimes they pass and we never realize they're milestones. But we passed a milestone the other day, and I'm going to tell you what it is. And it has nothing to do with us. The city of Delano is building a new shelter.
Yay.
Not only are they building a new shelter, but the mayor of Delano, and it could be just words, but the mayor of Delano said that he's interested in achieving a no-kill community in Delano.
Nice. Needed.
So great. When we talk about milestones, like that is a milestone that there's other smaller municipalities within Kern County even having the conversation, you know? And so, I mean, sometimes, you know, the rising tide floats all boats, you know? I think a lot of people in this room, and even people that aren't in this room anymore, have a lot to do with what's happening in the community. Tell me that question. Okay.
Good question, sir.
Oh, I forgot.
Cindy remembers. Regarding the cats at Hart Park, is that strictly the cat people, or are there members of the community involved in that as well?
It depends. Involved in what?
In bringing the cats in for the TNR program.
So right now, it's all
bringing them in for adoption.
Right now, it's only volunteers for the cat people that I'm aware of. But if you're talking about like feeding the cats out at Hart Park, No, there's quite a few people that are not volunteers for the cat people. But it's mostly just the volunteers for the cat people. And I mean, it's hard to consider this, but those volunteers for the cat people, like there's probably 300 cats out there, and I'm just throwing that number out there. Most of those volunteers know those cats and can get them to come to them, you know, and pick them up and put them in a carrier sometimes. And that helps to have that person, that volunteer who's been feeding it for a while, have that person bring the animal to us, because it just, you know, a little bit of calm for the cat when it comes to us, it's not kind of cagey.
The reason I asked that question, just a little side note for everybody, is that one of the gentlemen I see at the shelter on a regular basis now, the gentleman who frequents Hart Park and is assisting with that. And just as a side note, I don't know if you guys remember last year, there was a loose dog at Hart Park named Buddy that a woman came and talked about. He's the guy, him and his family, that rescued Buddy, and Buddy now lives with him. So, I just thought it was kind of cool that he, you know, that he not only saved Buddy, also involved in helping the cats at Hart Park. And he was also out to make Kern No Kill Run as well with Buddy. So just a little side note for anybody that remembers.
Cool.
Did you remember something? Do you remember whatever you want to ask?
Okay. You were talking about milestones a second ago, and you talked about saving more than you were euthanizing. I became a commissioner in 2013, and we were saving 40% 5 years ago. And we probably thought we were doing an okay job, right? Probably thought, hey,
no, we didn't.
I don't know. It wasn't that good. But, I mean, in 5 years, to go from 40% to 76%, as I told the supervisors, this county is supercharged in doing things on that full 11-piece puzzle of the only model that's ever worked in the world, the no-kill model. And you've got to have all of these things engaged, and we're getting there. And then Nathan Winograd said, you know, hey, you know, you're going to see this is contagious, what's going on. So when you see Delano wanting to talk about going no-kill, you're seeing the contagious attitude of this run happen. So, anyway, it's great. It's all positive. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
Thanks, Sam.
Hello, I'm Blake Smith. I am the business manager, and I'm here to talk about spay-neuter. And so the first thing, we got a food and agriculture grant that for $15,000, and we targeted Lamont and Arvin, and we utilize all of that funding already. It's just for the fiscal year, so it was, we utilized $15,000 in funding out there. And so up on the up in the other areas, we're if you look at, we're about just under 50%. We're just over 50% spent on our $250,000 as of December 31st, and it's there's some things in there that are looking good, and there's other things that look good depending on how you want to look at them. We've got a balance of less than 40% on our low-income vouchers at this point, and so we're and the state of the pities too. We've got a 35% balance. So I'm glad we have $30,000 in the trust fund to cushion, because we are going to we're going to use the $250,000 at this rate before prior to the end of the year. So that's where we are. Everything's looking good, I think. I mean, it's looking good. We're getting out, and we're doing lots of surgeries and facilitating lots of surgeries. Any questions?
Perfect.
Any plans on how the 80% balance for outlying surgeries is going to be used?
Yeah, it's $10,000. There's going to be my understanding is that there's going to be more stuff in Taft. I think we're looking at doing some work out in Taft. And there's also Lake Isabella potentially. So one of the big changes on, I think one of the reasons we've used so many vouchers is that a community group up in the Kern River Valley went to our Lake Isabella shelter and got a whole bunch of vouchers and had Valley Vet use it. I mean, it was that thick. So that could be one of the reasons why we're a little ahead of schedule on the vouchers, because of that, probably that one thing. They used a lot of vouchers up there, and they had two or three days up there, and they just used our vouchers to cover the cost. So,
any idea when World's Bay Day is?
February 26th.
So that's coming up.
The 25th anniversary of World's Bay Day.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you, Blake.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I have one last comment?
Yes.
I have my final closing comment on the directive report. The euthanasia comparisons that I talk about every few months, the back page of this packet talks about the reasons that they were euthanized. And in every category, it's dropped. And the one that I key on, you know, you can, if they're not adoptable, you understand. If they're medical, you understand. Too young, I'll never understand that one. So, but in that category, last year we euthanized 1,268 animals that were too young. Only 500 this year. That's a 60% drop. So, good job on that. And mostly, I would say the fostering program is that the main reason.
Yes.
I was going to say too, you know, just being in the rescue community, I know that a lot of those dogs are rescued out of there by out-of-town rescue organizations. So it's not necessarily the fostering programs, because it is hard,
okay.
But I think a lot of them are also the rescues. That was my question. Do you still have enough rescue organizations helping out after the distemper situation?
We'll never have enough rescue organizations helping out.
That's true.
But we don't have less now than we did before.
Okay.
And take a minute here. We were talking about this today, that if you do research online and you just research distemper outbreak, most shelters depopulate. They euthanize everything.
Yeah.
Not very many, especially municipal shelters, try to manage the outbreak. So, and I'm not patting us on the back at all. Actually, if anything, it's because of the adopters in the community and the rescue organizations who still worked with us that we were able to get through to the other side with very few of those dogs put down and without some sort of mass euthanasia. So, like, we worked closely with the University of Wisconsin to get us through this without having to depopulate. And we've gotten a lot of congratulations and kudos from them for that. And some of the rescue organizations, the Animal Rescue Foundation, one of them, is congratulatory and almost more than willing to work with us now. I mean, they waited 2 months, which I would have as well, but that we haven't had a positive test in 2 months, a little more than 2 months, is almost, it's helpful to them to understand that we're doing what we can to make sure that we manage our way through the outbreak without having to put everything down. So to answer your question, we'll never, like I said, never have enough rescues. We still put down, you know, 800 to 1,000 large breed, perfectly fine dogs that I just can't find a home for. So it's one of those things where we'll always need more rescue organizations. But, yeah.
Can I just ask you a quick question? I was just looking at your kennel statistics. When it says died, does that just mean like they perished like in their kennel versus being euthanized?
Correct. Okay. Majority of the time, those are underage kittens and puppies that just didn't thrive.
Okay, so I need a motion to receive and file the director's report.
I'll make a motion.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And then I need a motion for the ESPA Neuter Funds Update Report.
I'll motion.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Next, on item F, Commissioner Announcements and Reports. I'll start at this end.
I don't really have too many announcements. I feel like Nick kind of covered everything as far as the subcommittee is going. I think it's going well. There's sometimes heated debates in that room, but I think we're getting through to, you know, get some good ordinances to the Board of Supervisors for them to take a look at as far as recommendations go. And I think it was a good idea. I'm glad we're doing it.
I know we have a new manager at the Petco on Rosedale. Have you met him there?
No.
Yeah. Nice guy. I think he commutes from LA. Seems to be pretty gung-ho about everything. So, as far as any other announcements, I don't have any more.
Karen? Nothing.
Janice, do you want to touch on the emergency trailer?
Yes, I'm trying to.
She'll get in there.
I think we are finally good to go, right? So we now need to start our fundraising efforts. The Kennel Club and BOTC are doing some fundraising efforts. We need to do some PR to let the community know. But the reality is that we have two trailers that we would like to add to our repertoire to help with the emergencies. And I think what's transpired towards the last part of the fall is just one more reason why we need those trailers in the outlying areas. So we would like to definitely get your support, get everybody on board. The information is going to be going on the website?
Yes.
Perfect. And the donations can be made directly to the AKC online, or you can mail a check. You want to be sure that you designate that it's for Kern County. And once we have our percentage of funds...
So you can give a check to me, too, and I can have okay. it taken care of.
Okay, perfect. So, but it still needs to be made out to AKC.
BOTC.
Yeah. Yeah, the trailers are $25,000 fully equipped, and we need to raise 10? 12.
12 per unit.
Yeah, so we've got two units, $25,000 apiece, fully equipped to facilitate approximately 75 or 80 animals in an emergency situation. And it's obligated that the community raise $12,000 per unit. And then once we've got that into AKC, they kick in the other 10 on a grant basis and put our trailers together and drive them on out here.
So somebody asked, why does it go to the AKC? So the AKC has a program called AKC Reunite. And what it is a grant program. We won a grant for two disaster relief trailers It's a $20,000 grant, but the trailers cost $22,000 a piece.
Right.
So we get $20,000 in grant funding. We have to fundraise the additional $24,000. And then...
Do you fundraise it to yourselves, though? Why do you fundraise it to the... I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it just seems odd that it wouldn't go directly to the shelter. You know what I mean? Like, if they're donating a portion, why wouldn't it go directly to the shelter for those trailers?
The community is more than welcome to donate to the shelter if you'd like. But the Reunite program is giving us $20,000, and we have to fundraise the remaining $24,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
the total is 44?
Yeah, it's
44,000.
$44,000 total.
Total.
With $20,000 granted from AKC Reunite.
And if you want to donate to these trailers, please don't send it to the shelter, because then I get to figure out how to get it to the AKC.
Mm-hmm.
So just cut out the middleman, send it directly to the AKC, it'll be good.
Who does one make the checks out to?
AKC Reunite.
We will
can make them to VOTC or KCKC, and we will handle it unless you want the, well.
Oh, it's up to you guys if you want to do that. AKC, you know,
so
recommend not doing that, but
we'll turn them in.
We want to make it as simple and streamlined as possible.
I have the AKC in hand.
Here's a suggestion.
I'll take it.
Monitor our social media and our webpage, and we'll have information on exactly how to donate so we can get these trailers.
Right, because we'd really like to have them by the spring if we can.
Yeah.
But, excuse me, but it just sounds a little bizarre. AKC gives you $20,000 for...
No. Let me try to explain.
All right.
So the AKC, the American Kennel Club's Reunite program, they have a grant program.
Right.
And the grant, if you apply for it, they give you, it's their own trailer that's fully stocked with disaster relief supplies.
Yes,
everything you would need
trailer.
Everything you would need to care for an animal during a disaster.
Small animals, not horses, right?
Not horses.
All types of animals.
Oh,
large animals included.
Okay.
So usually a community would get one trailer if they win this grant. We're a large community, and we were able to apply for and win two grants. So each grant disbursement is $10,000 towards the total cost of each trailer. The total cost is $22,000 per trailer. We have two trailers, so the AKC Reunite is kicking in $20,000, and then fundraisers need to account for the additional.
What happens if the amount's not raised for the AKC?
Yeah.
Do we not get that trailer, or?
I have no idea.
So we can technically, if they already sent money to the AKC for emergency trailers for Kern County, but if the whole entire, we don't know if what happens if that entire amount is not raised for our county, that just goes to the AKC?
No.
Where
it's open stasis, and we accomplish our goal of getting the money for the trailers.
What my question is if we do not accomplish that goal, where does the money go that was donated to the AKC?
It's held in stasis.
They hold it until we're able to.
No, there's no deadline. This could take us the whole year. We could do it in a month.
And it could take us 5 years.
It could. It's up to the community.
That money, as long as it takes to raise it.
Yep.
And it will just go into a little pot for 5, 10, 15, 20 years if needed.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
If you know anybody who's willing to kick in $24,000 to buy a trailer, though, send them my way.
I just asked her if I could have it.
So basically, AKC puts the trailers together.
Yes, they supply them.
They supply them.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
They say, we're going to give you a discount.
Correct.
By granting 20 grand.
Yeah. Correct. 10,000
per trailer.
Correct.
As long as you pay us 12
right.
per trailer.
It's a fundraising effort
right.
for the community.
Okay.
And it's sanctioned and sponsored by Animal Services and the two AKC member clubs in the area,
right.
which are Kern County Kennel Club and Bakersfield Obedience Training Club.
It's basically like they're matching, 70% of our donations, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the matching fund part that somehow didn't come through.
Susan?
And now the $24,000... The $24,000 they get back, now does that go back into that same program? Is that what they use that money for?
Well, the money that's donated to the AKC for the trailers It's for the purchase of the trailers. They will then supply the trailers to Kern County Animal Services, who then becomes the legal owner and is from that point on responsible for the trailers.
I think so. The only agreement that we had, I hate to tangle this any further than it already is, I think the only agreement is that we had to agree to a mutual aid agreement with surrounding counties that if disaster strikes, we would offer up.
Was that it? I know we discussed it, but I didn't think that was part of the caveat.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was.
You guys already have it in place. I think it was a non-issue.
Yeah.
Because Agua Dulce, I know, had a concern.
Yeah, we already have them.
Right, exactly. So that's where we're at, and we would appreciate everybody getting on board and helping the community to get the funds together sooner rather than later so that we can get these in the hands of Animal Services for our next emergency.
There seem to be conversations going on here that...
Joan? Thank you. Okay. So that's the one thing, and then I just want to wish everybody a happy new year. You know, we're in 2019. Let's move forward and be positive, people, please.
All this money, that is a nonprofit.
AKC Reunited. It's a nonprofit. It's deductible.
Okay.
Totally not deductible.
And that's one reason it's going to be recommended to the AKC.
Right. Okay, on to the next thing. That concludes commissioner reports and announcements. Old business, I think we already covered that with the ordinance subcommittee. We have no new business. So I guess that just leaves one thing. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, and we will meet next year, next month, same bat time, same bat channel.
Oh. So.